Well, it's good to see you today. The Memorial Day is a tremendous time, isn't it? And by the way, this is why I didn't shake hands with anybody this morning, you can tell. But Memorial Day, I stood over in Normandy where the invasion took place a few years back. I went down to the water, another missionary and I, and looked up on that place where those bunkers were, and they were shooting and killing all of our young men. We finally went to the cemetery, the American cemetery, and there's a little chapel rotunda there, and we saw that. Then I told Pete Rathel, I said, let me go out, let's just look at these dates on these crosses. And I went out not too far. One of the first crosses I came to, that was a young soldier who died June the 9th, 1944. That's the day I was born. And I stood there, and he was from Louisiana, where I was raised, and I stood there and wept, and I thought, this man died the day that I was born to preserve my freedom to today. Very touching. We should never take Memorial Day for granted and our freedom, and I know you know that, but let's be sure that we do know that and remember that. Pardon me, you're going to hear a little of that as we go along. All right, there are some truths that transform. I wanted to give it a new title, truths that should transform us. And we should be transformed by these biblical truths. Some are, some aren't. But we don't ever give up hope that that's the way it is. So today's lesson is the golden rule. The golden rule. In my opinion, one of the hardest things for a Christian to do is to live by the golden rule, according to the Bible. Not our perception of what it may be, but what it really is, according to the Scriptures. In the earth today, we have over 7 billion people. And we have to interact with some of those people, don't we? We have to interact with them. And sometimes we can get with them and enjoy it, and sometimes we just prefer to get away from 7 billion of them and find a place in the woods and just relax. I was relaxing yesterday morning out on our patio and reading the Bible and thinking about some things and praying, and I just thought, well, we have a bird feeder out there, and so I said, Lord, if you don't mind, just let some birds show up and let me see them. Because just some, you know, evidences of nature. And I just wanted to see them. Well, sure enough, a mockingbird came up there, and then a squirrel came running down the fence, ran the mockingbird off. The mockingbird came over to a hedge about 8 feet from me, and then he jumped down and came back up on another hedge. And I was just watching him, and I was thinking, isn't God good? And all of a sudden, a copperhead was just coming right down through there, just a few feet from my feet. And I thought, well, from now on, I'm going to qualify my prayer just a little bit. So I did the thing I like to do, and I got a shovel and sent him where he belonged, okay? Down there with the rest of the devils. But at any rate, we just think, well, I just like to get away from everybody and and have a some time by myself. But we can't do that. If we do, we got to come back to it, don't we? So we have to live with people. That's all I'm saying. And I like the in Peanuts character Lionel, he said, I love mankind. It's people I can't stand. And sometimes in the ministry, we say to preachers, preachers say, well, how's the ministry going? And people say, well, if it wasn't for people, I could really enjoy the ministry, you know. And that's crazy, isn't it? But all we mean by that is if you're working with people, you're going to have some differences along the way. And but we desiring human companionship is normal. Adam and Eve, in Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. That's normal that we have companionship and that we get along. Getting along is good. making enemies is not the wisest thing, and yet we can do that. Romans 2:18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably with all men. And I know that's a qualifier there, but I think it's possible to do that. And we don't need to be constantly fighting and arguing with people in all of our relationships that we have. And so our text is the key to it in Matthew 7:12. Here it is. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Sometimes we say, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And we qualify that. But this is the key to it in all of our relationships. Other religions don't look at it that way. They're opposite. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But Matthew 12 ought to grip us. And we should be able to get along with anybody. I know that's a challenge sometimes. If my hand goes up there, John, turn it down real quick and come back to me, if you don't mind. I hate to pierce everybody's ears. So, first of all, let's look at the magnitude of what he said and how we should do this. Therefore, all things, see what he says? All things whatsoever you would that men shall do to you. So whatever you want them to do to you, all things, everything. And there are no exceptions. There are no excuses. There are no exemptions. In everything you do with others, you ought to ask yourself this question. It's a good question. How would I feel if this were done to me? How would I feel if what's being done to them? How would I feel if this is done to me? So, A in the outline, it includes all communication. All communication. How would I feel if someone said to me what I'm telling this person? Sometimes think about what you're telling somebody and how you tell them, and then think about this. How would I like it if somebody was telling me the same way that I'm telling them? And sometimes that'll make us back up and look at it a little differently and state it a little bit differently. But it's all communication. And to illustrate it, sometimes you hear about a problem that somebody may be having. Maybe two people in the church are having a dispute or something, and you hear about it. The thing to do is go talk to them, if you hear about it, or maybe the pastor, or both. Talk to them about it, but don't go talk to everybody else about it. That's not the right thing to do. And so here's why. Would you like it if you were having a problem and somebody found out about it and they began to spread it all over the place? No, we wouldn't like that. We want to get some help, and that's why we go through it. So you don't want everybody to know about your sin struggle or whatever it may be. Ephesians 4:29, listen to this. Now, this is scripture. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. That's building up. This is an edifice. It's a building. Edifying, building up. Minister grace unto the hearers. And so it includes all communications. And then it includes all disagreements. It's very common for us to have disagreements with somebody. You work in a lot of different situations and you have disagreements with somebody, but there is a biblical way to handle it. In verse 12, Matthew 7:12 is how we should do it. So how would you want to be treated yourself if somebody is you? How would you want to be treated yourself? Well, number one, I think you'd want to be respected. Don't we all like to be respected? We all like to be respected. I'm not talking about pride and trying to be a who's who, but just simply being respected. So you would want to be respected. So the thing is, we ought to respect other people, even if we have some disagreements. Sometimes they're biblical disagreements. I was witnessing back when we had the big day, and I went house to house on all of my block and passed out literature and witnessed to everybody that would let me witness to them. And my neighbor right across the street from me, he's a big guy, about 6'4". I mean, he's a big guy. And he lives there alone, has a nice little puppy called a German Shepherd. And so anyway, I got to talking to him, and he's saying, well, I made a decision when I was a kid, but he said, I really didn't take. Somebody talked me into it, and I just got away from it. And to be honest with you, I just don't believe in it. I just don't believe it, you know, and all that kind of thing. Well, what do you do? Well, I was nice to him, talked to him, and I had some nice little comeback statements, not hateful, but nice ones. And so he and I get along real good together. I hope someday I'll get him saved. Something will happen to him. But he called me over the other day and said, come here a minute. And I went over and I thought, what's he going to say? He's a big guy. But anyway, he said, I've got a brand new lawnmower and I have a Honda lawnmower, but the gears went out on it or something like that. And said, would you like to have it? You know, everybody wants it. And I said, yeah, I'll take it. I never have looked a gift horse in the mouth and all. I just said, take it, you know. But it had a Honda motor on it. Now, those are the best lawnmower motors out there, I think. A lot of people would agree. But my point is this. We're not like this just because I witnessed to him, talked to him. I'm still kind to him, and he's kind to me. And if he ever has a wreck or goes to the hospital or has some problems or a death or something, I believe he'll come to me and talk to me. And so we get along real, real good. Now, another thing is, not only would you like to be respected, but in any argument, you also want to be understood. In any argument, you want to be understood. In other words, you want to be able to have an opportunity to explain yourself. This is what happened. This is why. Have you ever been around somebody that I'm telling you, you're trying to say something, and all they can do is interrupt, 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 interrupt? Some of you are nodding. You know, most of us have it. You try to talk to somebody, just interrupt you. They don't want to listen to the thing you're saying. They're not interested in what you're saying. Especially if it's something that might help them out. And so a lot of times we jump to conclusions and we've got to put our two bits worth in there real quick. But the kind thing to do is listen to them. Then state your case. But at least have an opening ear, an open ear to listen to what they're saying. And many times that takes care of the problem. And then C, in your outline, it includes all correction. It includes all correction. It's needed sometimes. Correction is needed sometimes. Edifying somebody is needed sometimes. Talking to someone to try to help them out is needed. But we need to always handle that with prayer first and a lot of wisdom. And if we don't apply the golden rule, then we're sort of hypocritical, really. If we don't apply the golden rule. Because here's what Jesus said in Matthew 7:3. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? That's like a splinter. But considerest not the beam, that's like a telephone pole, a 2x4, that is in thine own eye. You say, well, that's humorous, you know. But God was getting the point across to us, I believe. Or he says, how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine own eye, and you got a beam. Can you see somebody with a big old 2x4 in their eye and say, hey, let me get that splinter out of your eye? You say, I don't think so. Just leave me alone. You take care of your 2x4 first. And here's what he says. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou be clearly, see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So, most people don't mind correction or some corrective comments if you do it in love, if you do it tenderly and not hatefully. And then D in your outline, Well, does it include correction? It includes all witnessing opportunities. The message is always the same. It doesn't change. The method of witnessing can be different. The delivery can be different. Well, what would you want if somebody was telling you about the Lord? I think you'd want understanding, genuine compassion, care in that. In Jude 22 and 23 says, "And of some have compassion." That's not a bad thing. "Of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments. But have compassion. Don't fail to witness. Just have compassion and witness." And I told you about recently the magician, Penn Jillett, and Penn Jillette, let me say it right. He is a atheist. And basically he made this statement, I'm just putting in my words, he said, "If I believe what you believe, that people, you know, die and go to hell and there's a Savior, then how much do you hate people not to tell them that? I mean, if you really believe that, then by the grace of God, tell them. But tell them in love." It includes all prayers. It includes all prayers. E in your outline. I think there's there's a typographical error of two E's. But anyway, treat trials as your own. It includes all prayers. How do you want people to pray for you when you're having problems? Especially if it's a serious problem. Boy, you want them. Please pray for me. Take some time to pray for me. I need your prayers. And I'm going through some terrible things, and I need your prayers. And that's the way we want people to pray for us. We need to pray for people like that. We need to act as if it's our problem and start praying for them and do what we can to pray for them, enter into it, and know what they're going through and make ourselves know that. And so in the text, he says all things. So it includes all prayers. How do you want people to pray for you? And then it includes all actions. All actions. Most of us remember the acts of kindness that have been done to us. I could give you a long list of a lot of acts of kindness that have been kindnesses that have been done unto me by this church and individuals and so on and so forth. But what we need to do is turn around and demonstrate the same acts of kindness to other people. We want people to be kind to us. We need to go at it and work at it to do that for them. Secondly, Roman numeral 2, the motivation that men should do to you. That's what he's talking about. Now, most all religions have a golden rule. Most all religions have a golden rule. But the Christian golden rule is different. How is it different? Because of the motivation behind it. Because of the motivation behind it. So, A, in your outline there, what our motivation is not. What our motivation is not. It's not to be treated the same way. In other words, you scratch my back, I scratch your back. I do this for you, but I expect this back. And you better treat me right. I won't do it for you anymore. That's sort of the standard way that we do things like that. But the motivation for what we're doing and what he's talking about, our motivation, is that it's simply the love of Christ. Whether we get anything back or whether we don't, whether they receive us well and try to do the same for us, that's not the issue when Christ talks about it. Now, motivation in the Christian faith is not negative. And now let me quote Confucianism. Listen to it. Try to pick it out. "Do not do to others what you would not like yourself. Then there will be no resentment against you, either in the family or in the state." Well, basically, if you really study that out, it's a selfish type thing. Then Buddhism. "Hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful." It's sort of a self-centered thing. Don't hurt them. You don't want to be hurt, so don't hurt them. And that's sort of a selfish motivation. Hinduism. "This is the sum of duty. Do not unto others that what you would not have them do unto you. And that sounds very similar to what we're talking about, but it's different. So, we don't treat people the way we treat them. We don't do it just so we can be treated back the same way in a selfish motivation. Christian motivation is not with self, but it is with Jesus, to bring honor to Him, to bring glory to Him, and not to get back a reciprocal thing from those that we do those things for. And then B, what is our motivation? What our motivation is? Number one is to honor God. Number two, to be a blessing to others. And it has to do with how we treat others. Matthew 7:1. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. He goes on to talk about all of that. And then he talks about how a father would treat a child. And then Matthew 7:12 again is the capstone of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, if any man will sue thee at the law, sue him back. Right? Is that what he said? He said, if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Go a little further. That's opposite of what the world would do. That's opposite of those that are unsaved. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go 2 miles. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn not thou away. And he goes on to mention all of that. So the world's motivation, here's all I'm saying. The world's motivation generally is selfish. I'll do for you, you do back, and I expect it. But our motivation, number one, is the well-being of others. Not ourselves, but the well-being of others and the love of Christ to those people. Roman numeral 3, the movement. He says, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, the little bitty word, do. Powerful word. Decide to do it. It's the right thing to do. Decide to do it. Committing adultery is the wrong thing to do. Decide not to do it. And so this is the opposite of that. All things you should do, so do it. Do it. And James 1:22 says, but be ye what? Doers of the word, not just memorizers of the word or being familiar with it. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And he mentions more about that. A, it's done personally. In other words, it's not just the church's broad responsibility. And it's not just your mate's responsibility. Dear men, it's your responsibility. Dear ladies, it's your responsibility. It's done personally. It's done positively. We need to have a positive attitude. And our positive motives for doing what we do for others. In Matthew, he points this out very quickly, 25, 34 through 40. I won't read all of these. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 37, then shall the righteous answer him. He's talking about how when I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was hungry, you fed me. Then shall the righteous say, Lord, when saw we thee and hungry and fed thee? Or when saw we you thirsty and gave you drink? Saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and did that? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it to me. So when we do things like that in the name of Christ, Jesus said, it's just like you did it for me. It's just like you did it for me. And then it's done pleasantly. In other words, the right motive, and that's always going to bring joy to our lives. D, it's done promptly. It's done promptly. And so we have to, if the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart about doing something for somebody, don't wait for a better time. Do it. And then E, it's done privately. It's not our job to broadcast our good deeds. A lot of people have a problem with that. If God wants people to know, He'll let them know. Promotion comes from the Lord. Proverbs 27:2, let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. Let God take care of that. And then it's done plentifully. It's done plentifully. Not the attitude of minimalism, just what can I get by with? What do I just have to do? But it's pray for abundant opportunities to serve the Lord that way. Then it's done passionately versus guilt. It's some passion, according to the dictionary, a strong feeling of enthusiasm or excitement for something or about doing something. Passionate, be enthusiastic about doing what God has said. And we finish up. All have people that we're close to, but there are others we don't mesh with. We just don't get along with them. We just don't really mesh. They're not our favorite personalities. But everyone doesn't have to be your best friend. But according to the Bible, we have to get along with everybody. We have to get along with everybody, especially in the local church situation. And if we have contention with a brother, then God's not pleased with it. 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. So if you're at odds, what do? Seek now to settle it. Don't wait. Do it ASAP. Do it as soon as possible. That may mean you got to humble yourself and apologize and then live in Matthew 7:12. Father, we thank you for your word. Help us to live out this golden rule as you expect us to do. Give us the grace and power and help us to just do it. In Jesus' name, amen.